Good morning.
Good morning. It is. It gets earlier every time.
It really does.
It really does. I don't know how it works. All right. So this morning's, I dropped some hints on the interwebs. So this morning is actually one we haven't covered the full song before, but we have covered the joyful vocal soundings. So we're gonna start with the whole track. Give it to us, Andy.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette, a building, a remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy, and at a time, an invitation you can't decline. Caviar, cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette, extraordinarily nice. She's a killer, queen, gunpowder, Kennedy.
So we're all up to speed. Do you pick this because it has your name in it, Christian?
So it's let's leave the comedy for the morning show. All right, pal? So it's Killer Queen from the album Sheer Heart Attack from 1974. So I've done the vocal on this one before, but it's worth a listen to hear what everybody's doing, because this is another case of a bunch of geniuses all working together. So let's start with one of the most underappreciated drummers, I think, more so even than Ringo. I think Roger Taylor's, you know, sort of, he doesn't carry a big stick as far as everybody's concerned, but this man has a groove to him. So here, this is Roger Taylor just providing some sick backbeat. I mean, it's not damping that bass drum. Just leave that thing wide open.
Yeah, it is. It's loose.
Yeah.
It does kind of saunter the whole song. Yeah. It has a
swing to it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's no slouch, and he could sing, too. I'm in love with my car. He can sing a song.
All right, so what I did was there's a drum fill later on where you get to... Ah, it's beautiful. So here's Roger playing the drum fill from the middle break just to not be outdone. I mean, you know, you got to know when to put him down. You know what I said? So
it's understated.
Yeah. So there's Roger Taylor providing that, and then John Deacon, one of the sort of unsung heroes of the rhythm section as well. He unfortunately no longer in the band after like 1997. He stepped out due to the fact that everyone seems to think that he was so deeply affected by the death of Freddie that he couldn't handle it anymore. So John Deacon's bass line, insane on this song. So now if we put him and Roger together, this is the backbone of the entire jam. And this is when you realize you couldn't have played anything else on the bass drums, because if you'd busied it up.
Yeah. Yeah, so far everybody's playing the bare minimum, aren't they? I think they're consciously doing this, being spare with everything else, because they know that the vocals are going to take up such a wide swath.
Well, it's that, and also that you got to leave some room for Brian. You know, Brian's going to leave some. He needs a wide swath for his guitar playing. Don't you know? So the core of this song, of course, is this, the piano line that everybody knows. What's interesting about the piano line that we'll find out together is that it's actually two different piano tones. So the first one you'll get is the regular piano sound, which is this guy, played by Mr. Mercury. And you're like, oh yeah, no, that's the piano line from Killer Queen. I got it.
Sure.
It is not yet. So You might want to pot this down because for some reason this is a little louder than the other one. So here's, now there's some confusion as to whether this is a thing called a tack piano where there's actually little almost clips on the hammers that pull the string. Ooh. So it gives it like a percussive because the, did you know this, Gina? The piano is actually a percussion instrument.
Stop.
No, it is because it's a hit. There's a hit involved.
Huh.
Yeah.
See, look at you.
I know. So it's either that or it's a harpsichord. So here's the other piano sound that's involved.
It does sound like a tack piano. Yeah. Coldplay used a tack piano on a lot of their stuff.
Should have used an attack piano on Coldplay. So now...
has that barroom feel to it, doesn't it? Saloon.
So now if you put these two together, now what you'll have is the recognizable piano tone of the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah. Hear that?
It's awesome.
And it's also what gives it that wah-wah-wah-wah sound. But they're also played perfectly in synchronicity with each other. You could be easily forgiven for thinking it's one piano track.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. When Billy Joel sings, the piano sounds like a carnival.
Yeah.
It's that kind of...
So,
hey, Christian.
Sir.
Hi, it's Mark.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Welcome to the morning show. Do you have any questions?
I do. Okay. Was Freddie the primary
writer? Are you a
long-time
listener, first-time caller? I don't think we've had you on the air before.
He'll take his answer off the air.
All right.
Was Freddie the primary writer?
He was, absolutely. But the interesting thing is the other guys were no slouches either. I mean, John Deacon wrote a bunch of hits, including Another One Bites the Dust,
You're My Best Friend, was it?
So they all sort of had hands in, and they all sung. Brian May actually sang on a couple of songs himself. So the thing with this band is that, you know, it's as we've sort of highlighted from all of the bands that I think we've played, everybody involved is working at 11 the entire time. There's no slouches in any of these projects, and that to me is one of the cool things is people reaching out and realizing that is true. You know, like that a band is a sum of the parts, and they're like, oh, I'm finally understanding. It's not just dudes smashing away in a room. So the fact that you get to sort of realize that the Queen isn't just Freddie Mercury and Brian May. It's like these other two guys are just as important.
It makes it a little bit more. I think some people look at a band like Queen and they say, well, you're going to try to continue on without Freddie Mercury.
Right.
But when you come back and you take this apart like this, you realize you can forgive these other guys for thinking, yeah, we want to keep making music because this is what we do. And
then do it under another name.
Yeah,
because for me, Freddie was so big, such a gigantic part of what Queen was. I had no interest to see Paul Rodgers or Adam Lambert or any. I saw Queen with Freddie Mercury, and it's emblazoned on my brain.
Yeah, I agree.
It's tough. I mean, Journey, it's the same thing. Like, how do you get rid of your past, but still be couch the fact that you're doing this and that you're playing hits from a band that you were in, 10 years ago that isn't around anymore. It's tough, man, but I think the Queen one is exceptionally hard to, especially when we get to the vocal section.
Yeah.
So here's Brian May's guitar track from this. I went in halfway so that we can sort of hear how he builds from the middle bit of the song out through the outro leads. And, of course, Brian is an astrophysicist. He was involved in the Pluto flights for NASA recently.
Yeah.
And he also plays a guitar that his father and he made from the ground up when he was a teenager.
It's Dr. Brian May to you, sir.
I'm sorry, you're absolutely correct. And the guitar that they made, they fashioned everything, including the pickups. So this guitar is actually impossible to replicate, even though it has been a couple of times. But the reason that it sounds the way it does is a mixture of Brian May's fingers and the fact that
they wound the pickups for this.
Yeah, they made their own pickups for his guitar.
Wow.
So here's Brian May playing the Red Special on this one, which is absurd.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eddie Van Halen. Few people reinvent it as they go.
Yeah.
You play me a half second of Freddie Mercury playing the guitar, I know
or Brian May. All right, so here's the solo at the end. Now, what's crazy about this solo at the end is, so it's double tracked, so he's doing a beedaloo, 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 beedaloo. There's like a call and response thing.
What's he doing?
But he's going, beedaloo, beedaloo, listen to, you'll hear it when you recognize it. But I sort of took the beginning bit so you can hear how much noise is coming out of the amplifier, because this is how preposterously loud this thing is in order to get these beedaloos to cut through. So here's Brian warming up.
You
say
beedaloo three times, the demon appears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, they're Beatles.
They're Beatles. I wasn't lying. That's it. That's the guitar lead for the end.
And they flange it back and forth.
He's panning backwards and forwards from one side. And if you listen to them individually, it's really cool because you can actually hear the headphone feed of the call and response is happening. So as he's sitting there waiting for it, you hear like and then it's the other way. It's the same thing, except it's in reverse, obviously. So the construction of that guitar track is absolutely crazy. Yeah. Like, we have 10 minutes. Let's listen to track 9 again, Andy. This is the orchestra that is the guitar track on this song. Really, really listen to what this dude has constructed. Like, each of the sounds is manufactured to do a very specific job inside, like this. Right here. That's three tracks, at least, if not more. Because I think they're doubled, so yeah. It's like six.
Now you have four on that.
So, and I never realized what a signature sound that guitar has.
Yeah, it's the only one of its kind in the universe.
Like, and now to know that he and his dad made it when he was a kid, that's crazy.
They were teenagers.
So, is Brian May the one who layers all of these together? Yeah. I mean, Freddie will do all of the, orchestrate the vocal parts, but he just goes in and says, I'm going to fill all this together. Because that's masterful.
Yeah,
just
the orchestration. Insane. And he was really sick as they were tracking this, so he didn't... it's... Right here. Like that, wow. What is that? Need a string section.
It's very Celtic.
Yeah, it's got some druidisms happening in there. The lovely people of Stonehenge. So that's the guitar track. So if we go to track 11 now, this is what we've all been waiting for. So I put all of the vocals in, so you'll now hear every single vocal track that was put in to make this song, and it alone is an absurd piece of music.
She keeps them away, Shondo, in a pretty cabinet. Let them eat cakes, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A building remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time, an invitation you can't decline. Caviar and cigarettes, well-versed in etiquette, extraordinarily nice. She's a killer. Queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Anytime. Ooh, recommended at the price. Insatiable in appetite. Wanna try? To avoid complications, she never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Met a man from China, went down to Geisha Minor. Then again, incidentally, if you're that way inclined. Perfume came naturally from Paris.
Naturally.
Because she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise. She's a killer. Queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind.
Anytime. Like that anytime alone. Like, well, how'd you build that?
Killer, killer.
And Christian, she's obviously, Freddie is backing himself. Is there anybody else on this?
Yeah, Brian May, I think, did a little singing on this guy, too.
Drop
and Roger Taylor.
Hat. She's as willing as, playful as a pussycat. Ooh. Momentarily out of action, temporarily out of gas. You're absolutely dry. She's out to get you. She's a killer. Queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Anytime. Ooh, recommended at the price. Insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? You wanna try?
I mean, it's absurd.
It's out of hand. It was kind of fun to actually hear the lyrics in it. Mm-hmm. I was joking at the top. It's a misheard lyric. Khrushchev and Kennedy.
Right.
Some people think it's Christian virginity.
Ah, yes. I didn't think that.
Some of the other things. What is it?
The Geisha Minor?
Gunpowder.
Oh, gunpowder.
And gelatine.
Yeah.
Words that
don't go together.
What is he saying? Yeah.
Or his phrasing. It's ridiculous. I just imagine, the dudes in the booth. That's the thing that's awesome about Queen is that you've got three other guys who are looking through the window into the vocal booth, and whatever he's going to come up with, they're going to allow to happen because he's a genius. Right. And there's nobody being like, can we really do the Geisha Minor thing? That's, I mean, it sounds a little bit,
We just talked yesterday. Yesterday was the anniversary of them going into the studio to start Freddie's thing, Bohemian Rhapsody. And at one point, there are 180 overdubs.
Oh, I'm sure.
You hear 24-track console, you'll hear 8th-generation tape.
Yeah.
And you can't tell. It's just because Freddie just kept layering things over the top.
Well, that's when you listen to the vocal and you hear that, anytime, like whatever it took to put that together. Like, that's just one little moment in the song, and it was hours and hours of whatever it took to get those harmonies to sound that way. So now when you put it all together, now you can hear how the rhythm section had to be that sparse, because you've got so much filigree on this thing that if everybody was jamming, it would have been a complete cacophony.
Well, that's what I noticed right when you guys were talking about the beginning, how it was kind of simple and it had this swing. Well, now we know why. Yeah. There was a lot to come.
You need a lot of space on it. And actually, Brian May's guitar solo, he was really sick and he couldn't track, so they left him space for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. This place intentionally blank.
Yeah.
Just like Marie Antoinette, a building remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time, an invitation you can't decline. Caviar and cigarettes.
And now you hear like that piano. If that piano had been a regular piano, it wouldn't have cut through.
Yeah, that percussive.
Yep.
Queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind.
So good.
To avoid complications, she never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke.
just like a baroness, little man from China.
So there you go. Next time you listen to Killer Queen, you'll hopefully hear a bunch of stuff you hadn't paid attention to prior. And I say this without with no reserve. This is no reservations. This is the greatest vocalist in the history of rock and roll. There's no doubt.
Agreed.
About it.
There were not going to fight you
when Queen was going to play after Freddie's passing. They had guest vocalists that were going to come on stage and do different songs. And I distinctly remember Brian May saying that people would say, wait, he hit this note?
Yeah.
Yep. Every single night in concert, he hit that note. And they had to rearrange stuff because
you couldn't do it.
Normal mortal humans can't hit those notes. No.
I have said before, and I'll say it again, Queen's music was ahead of its time when it was made. And in my mind, it is still.
Oh, it still is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's absurd.
And Bohemian Rhapsody transcends music. That's art.
Yeah. I mean, I could do a breakdown on that, but the problem is that there's so much that you already know on that song because it's just the vocal. I mean, the vocal, when you hear the vocal just naked for the entire song, it is crazy what they're doing.
Yeah.
Christian, tell us where people can follow you.
You can find me on the Instagrams at King Trut, and you can find me on Facebook, Christian James Hand, and you can find me Saturday nights out on Santa Monica and La Brea. hanging out and
that's
running.
You.
I'm running a fan club. I'm running a fan club down there.
Is
right?
that what that is?
Yeah, it's right by Pink's. It's nice.
I know it will.
Yeah, if anybody needs me.